Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon to you. Welcome into the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey with you. Voice not really at 100% today, so hang in there with us for that. It is the calm before the storm in the central Susquehanna Valley. Quite a bit of snow on the way, so make sure you stay in touch with us. News Radio 1070 WKOK, and of course, storm-related information at WKOK.com. You can get winternet information on there as well. And we'll get you caught up with everything regarding the major snowfall that'll be starting late tonight across the central Susquehanna Valley. Of course, starting in about a day or two, we've got March Madness, the annual NCAA men's basketball tournament. You got the first four, couple games tomorrow night and Wednesday night, then it'll really crank up big time on Thursday. We will be paying very close attention to the Bucknell Bison men's basketball team. They will be in Buffalo on Thursday, and they'll be taking on West Virginia, and of course, live coverage will be over on Eagle 107 at 107.3 at 2:10 airtime on Thursday, and tip will be at approximately 2:45. So as long as the Bison are playing, you'll be able to hear them on Eagle 107 at 107.3. We will hear tomorrow from Bucknell head coach Nathan Davis. He'll be in his usual Tuesday spot, so we'll get coach's thoughts on his preparation as they take on Huggy Bear and West Virginia coming up on Thursday afternoon.
Yep. Nothing like Buffalo.
You called it, though. You called it. Yep. Great chance for Bucknell to head to Buffalo, and gonna happen.
Where are you right now?
I am currently over in the On the Mark studio.
Oh, okay.
My voice is kind of... I'm starting to feel better, but the voice is kind of... Kind of going a little bit. We're good.
Come on, put your back into it.
I know. It's everything neck up. Shoulder down, we're fine today. Just everything's happening upstairs.
Oh, and the show gets more frightening. And Sandy Barber is going to be on the show tomorrow to talk about the facilities reveal. And the facilities reveal will be as follows in a half an hour. It will be new tennis center, new indoor practice facility for other sports, and new natatorium, and what I think is a game changer, a new center for excellence, which will include an underground 500-space parking garage. It'll be across from the Morgan Academic Center. They're going to tear down the old East locker room. And they're going to put Center for Sports Performance in there, nutrition, and the other. I mean, it's all going to be centralized. And I think that's a real game changer to do it. And I'll talk to Sandy Barber about that. Now, Beaver Stadium, if you're wondering, this is what's going on with Beaver Stadium. Down the road, not now, but down the road, this is what you're going to have. And this goes back to the feedback everyone gets. What do people talk about always? Look, I want to be able to move around, not like a sardine. I want bigger concourses. I want to stand in line at the bathroom for 18 hours because I want to get back to watching the game. And by the way, I'd like to have great concession options. Well, that's what's all going to be incorporated in Beaver Stadium. In Beaver Stadium, they're going to include significant increase in chairback seating, new concession locations, food options, new restrooms, wider concourses, additional premium seating options, and when it's all said and done, the capacity will be at least 100,000. Now, this is down the road. This is not in the first group. The first group are the five I mentioned. This is a 20-year plan. This is not being done tomorrow. This is a 20-year plan. And as part of that 20-year plan, that's what they have in there. And that obviously is a big one for everybody along the way, as to, you know, because Beaver Stadium is so important. And I think that when you look at the 100,000 part's interesting, and here's the reason why. If Beaver Stadium were, say, 72,000 seats, okay, and say they did a renovation and they got down to 64,000 seats, would it be a big deal? Not really. But 100,000 is an interesting psychological barrier in terms of the size of your program. Alabama's increased to 100,000. Texas increased to 100,000. Texas A&M increased to 100,000. Tennessee's there. Even with a reduction in seating like at Ohio State, they're still over 100,000. Michigan obviously is there. And then there's Penn State. Now, Penn State did have a reduction in seating a couple of years ago. It went from over 107, I think, 107, 282 to 106.4 officially or something like that. Well, they lost about 800-plus seats when they had to conform with the American with Disabilities Act and take out the first three rows in the bottom of the stadium to conform to ADA. So Beaver Stadium's official capacity is a little bit above 106 right now. You can accomplish and stay at least 100,000 with all of these different renovations because you have other parts that make up for seating that can make it happen. And I think that's an interesting psychological barrier to have. And they understand that. They understand that. Now, that'll be talked about today, but those are not the five primary projects. Five primary projects will be at Jeffrey Field. They want to put a roof over the seats and have 4,000 seats. They want locker facilities and a video board. 10-lane, 50-meter pool, a 10-court indoor tennis facility, the indoor practice facility, which is going to take a lot of pressure off Haluba Hall, because Haluba Hall is used so much right now by everybody. It's going to take a lot of pressure off Haluba Hall. And the Center for Excellence. Remember, Penn State already pays rent. Now, this is a different part of it, but as an element, Penn State pays rent on all the office space that they have in the Jordan Center. They want to have a meeting, and they have to need a meeting room, like meeting room E or F. Okay, got to go over there. Nittany Lion Club, okay? They have to rent office space for everybody in there in athletics. The rentals right now come to about $300,000 a year. Now, is that going to pay for this building they want to build? No. But over time, you're going to save money doing it this way and having it centralized right across from Morgan. And centralizing that is going to be great for the student athlete and I think great for the athletic department. I think that's a game changer. So that's what we have. We'll have Sandy Barber on the show tomorrow to talk about this and more. Just when Sean was griping the management that I don't get anybody, that he gets all the guests.
Did I do that?
Oh, now you sound like you work for David. Now you sound like you work for David Letterman.
The only difference is our studio is not as cold as his was. The Ed Sullivan Theater.
Brutal. Brutal. And we're having Nathan Davis on when?
We'll have him in his usual spot tomorrow. As soon as the game was announced last night, I got in touch with him to see, hey, maybe you'd want to be on the show today instead of tomorrow. But sticking with tomorrow, yeah, they're traveling today, yes.
They have to. They have no choice.
Yep.
They have no choice.
Yep, they're on the bus now as we speak.
Look, the bottom line is West Virginia is a really interesting matchup. And if I'm Bob Huggins, playing Bucknell really makes me uncomfortable. because Bucknell has the ball movement and the point guard play and the ball handlers that West Virginia doesn't like to see. West Virginia wants to press. They want to press. They want to press. They want to get as many points off of their press as they can. But they're facing a team in Bucknell. It's a veteran team that is not fazed by pressure, and they have the point guard and ball handlers to handle it. Not a fouling is also a problem for them as well. And if everybody had just taken my advice last week, you'd already have your hotels in Buffalo. I mean, I tried, Sean. I tried.
You called it.
Here's another element as well that is different. Depth, except for foul trouble, does not present an issue in the NCAA tournament, except for foul trouble. And here's the reason why. You're already guaranteed in a normal game 9 long timeouts. Under 16, 12, 8, and 4, plus the first timeout of the second half called by a coach is a long timeout. You actually get an additional one of those in the NCAA tournament. The first timeout called in the first half is a long timeout because Turner and CBS have to make up their money somehow. Each coach, by the way, as standard, starts the game with 3:30s and a full. So the possibility is now at hand to get as many as 12 long timeouts in a game. And the timeouts are longer in the NCAA tournament because the commercial breaks are longer to accommodate CBS and Turner. They have to make their money back somehow. Depth becomes less of an issue in the NCAAs, except for foul trouble, which obviously is big. Now, that's going to be a plus, for example, for a team like Minnesota, which lost to Keene Springs, blown out Achilles. Injuries are going to play a role in this tournament. Minnesota's already been greatly wounded by not having Springs. And you saw the effect of it when they tried to play the semifinal without him. Oregon, okay? Torn ACL, kids out for the year. I saw more injuries in the conference tournaments this year than at any time. And then there's Bill Walton. Normally, analysts don't say things that make me laugh. You know, I'll smile. Okay, that's good. All right. But this time, I outright laughed. Arizona's playing UCLA in the Pac-12 semifinal at T-Mobile out in Las Vegas. And Joe Lenardi comes on with Bill Walton. And Joe, by the way, handled it beautifully. But he says Arizona, he said, the winner of this tournament should be the number one seed in the West, not Gonzaga. This is the conference of champions. He says, they play in a truck stop league.
As soon as Joe appeared on the split screen, Bill just started rolling into it, and Dave said, let Joe in on the conversation here.
It is Dave, isn't it?
Dave, right? No less than 3 Cole references on Friday night's game, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. It was just a bizarre ride that was comical and... What makes Walton fun is that Walton's entertaining and doesn't care. He's entertaining and doesn't care. What did the tournament committee get right? What did they get wrong? We'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. North Carolina is a 1, Purdue's a 4. So they seem to put a premium on regular season championships as opposed to tournament championships. And when it comes to the Syracuse situation, they also made a statement on you cannot home court your way into the tournament. Syracuse in neutral and away games this year was 2-11. My goodness, Penn State had 6 wins. this year in that. And you know, Penn State's not in the thing, but what it did do was it did send a message on, look, you can't home court your way in with a lousy schedule. Now, did Syracuse have 6 wins in the top 50? Yes, impressive. Did Syracuse have 3 wins in the top 10? Oh, my goodness, that's impressive. But look at all the losses they had. And the fact is, they didn't try to do anything adventurous outside of the Carrier Dome. So, I mean, Penn State played a better non-conference schedule than Syracuse. Now, Penn State's nowhere near the NCAA tournament. But it did tell you and make a statement about where they what they did. You can't go 2-5 your last 7 and get blown out in a bunch of them. And you can't just say, hey, we're staying home. Everybody's going to come to us because we're Syracuse. Nobody cares. I think I made a big statement about what you need to do. I said, look, go out and play somebody. Now, a problem for a team like Illinois State, for example, is a lot of people don't want to play them. So they're not going to get the quality wins. They're not going to get the quality opportunities. But per, I think, I want to say Syracuse was at 6-8. And I think it was against the top 50, they were 6-8. I mean, that's a really good record against the top 50. Now, I'll give credit where credit is due. But 2-11 in neutral and away? Really? Really? That's the issue. So now seeding, there are only 2 issues I have with seeding, but it's not the way you think. When a team is misseeded, it's not about where they're seeded that's the issue. It's suddenly teams that have to then face them against a misseeded team. The only 2 I think that are misseeded that should be higher is I think SMU at 6 is misseeded. They should have. I thought they were going to be a 4. And the other one's Wichita State. I think Wichita State was misseeded as a 10. Matt Leon next half hour. A lot to talk about today, including the facilities master plan reveal.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the sales event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors' annual March New Truck Sale. SMC is the only Ford dealer in the area that has 4 city blocks of new Fords and has sold over 40,000 new trucks. Right now, pick from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $12,500. Sunbury Motors has new 2017 Ford F-150s starting as low as $23,919. There's over 30 2017 Ford Escapes, and they're priced from just $18,880. SMC has 2017 Ford Explorers starting under $30,000. And there's 45 of the all-new 2017 Ford Super Duty.
Motor Trend's Truck of the Year.
Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on select models. Central PA truck buyers, this is it. SMC's annual March New Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for over a century.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. That's because they found the right insurance at the right price for their clients. And if there's a claim, well, they go to work as if it happened to them. That's how tight they are with you. That's how important you are. So, that's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 10 to 15 inches of snow on the way. Sean was out putting chains on the Sunbury Motors vehicle earlier today.
We're safe and all set.
Sounds awfully confident.
Well, we're from PA, not our first rodeo. Although it has been a while since we've going to experience this pile of snow. It has been a while. We've been kind of pampered lately.
Right. Well, we have been, as a matter of fact. I was hoping to play golf this week. I'm like, what a fool for even thinking that 2 weeks ago. I thought, well, when the season ends, maybe I'll play a little bit of golf. All right, let's get to this day in sports history. Then Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. 1878, the first collegiate golf match was played between Oxford and Cambridge. I had Oxford in three strokes in that one. J.L. Johnstone, 1894, invented the horse racing starting gate. 1954, Bobby Thompson. He of the home run in the 1951 playoffs. Was now playing for the Milwaukee Braves. Broke his ankle sliding into a base during spring training. The Braves had to replace him. Guess who they replaced him with? Some rookie named Hank Aaron. 1955, Maurice Rocket Richard of the Montreal Canadiens ejected from a game for fighting. 3 days later, NHL Commissioner Clarence Campbell suspended Richard for the rest of the season. The result? 7 hours of looting and destruction of property in Montreal over the decision. 1960, the Chicago Cardinals moved to St. Louis to become the St. Louis Cardinals in the NFL. Bingo Smith's NBA consecutive game streak ended in 906 games in 1983. 1992, Chick Hearn called his 2,500th consecutive L.A. Lakers game, streak that began in November of 65. 2002, Phil Housley, Calgary Flames, became the American all-time points leader, 1,066, passing out Joey Mullen. And that is this day in sports history. Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia, also the play-by-play voice of Penn Basketball. Matt, you had the privilege of doing the semifinal on Saturday at the Palestra where Princeton rallied and won in overtime. What was the tension like in the building and how that game played out?
It was I think it was probably best case scenario. I think if you're in the Ivy League office and you decide you're going to do this, and you say, boy, wouldn't it be great if we had two great matchups on Saturday? Having Penn, Princeton, and Harvard Yale as your two semifinals is how you would draw it up. And it was intense. It was, Penn came so close, so close. It's really kind of hard to lose a game when you never trail in regulation. But Princeton tied it with 6 seconds left. They had tied it a couple times and went back and forth, but Princeton didn't take their first lead until the first point of overtime, and then it was all Tigers after that. But it was a great atmosphere. There was a good crowd. You had a good representation from Princeton, good energy. Students that were on break came back early to be there, and there was a lot of Harvard and Yale people there as well. I think it was a big win. I think it was everything they'd hoped they'd get out of an Ivy League tournament.
Yeah. In the end, Princeton wins it. I don't like their draw. Notre Dame, I don't think, was the best draw for Princeton out of this thing. I know a lot of people, they get enamored with the 5-12 thing. Notre Dame's a little different cat.
Yeah, Princeton is tough, though. They really are. And you watch them up close. They are the collective more than the individuals. They are great. Mitch Henderson has a great job of having them. They impose their will on other teams. I think a lot of it's going to be how Notre Dame treats it. If Notre Dame comes out and tries to coast a little bit, Princeton can definitely take it to them. And I might actually look at that one as a possible upset.
They will open up. That's one of the Buffalo games, so they better leave now.
Yeah, really. That's what Villanova's doing.
And Villanova does have to leave early. I know Jay is not enamored with the fact that, because I talked to Dick Girardi today, he's not enamored seeing Wisconsin there right away because of, look, what group of seniors has more wins in the NCAA tournament? Oh, Wisconsin does, 11. What is your thought on Villanova's draw?
I think a lot of people seem to think they got a tough one. I think assuming they get Wisconsin in the second round, that will be difficult. But I don't think they've got a crazy road to the Final Four. I think if they play like they did in the Big East tournament, and really like they've played all year, that's the thing that's just so impressive about this group. As a defending national champ, they've never lost the edge, which I just find incredible that they have maintained the edge and stayed sharp. They haven't mailed in a half a basketball all season, and that's going to be big here going forward. I mean, they're going to get the play-in game, and you know, barring the miracle of all miracles, they're going to win that. And then, you know, if they get Wisconsin, it will be a challenge. But I wouldn't bet against them at least until I have them going to the Final Four. I haven't decided past that. I'm right. Still working on my bracket, but I see them coming out of this region.
Oh, I do too. And I have them eventually beating Duke because I think Duke will go for a while to the Elite Eight. But they've already played, for example, Virginia. Had to gut it out, had to fight through that defense. Wisconsin's the same way, and say Florida were to advance if they were to survive, whatever, that's the same style as well. So they've already played and beaten that style because they had to do that against Virginia. They had to do it against Seton Hall in the Big East semifinals.
Yeah, and they're great, as most, you know, teams at this level, finding ways to win. That Seton Hall game was screaming to be lost, absolutely screaming to be lost. And they found a way, you know. Seton Hall probably outplayed them for the most part, but they found a way to grab it. It's going to be interesting going forward. You know, you mentioned Virginia, as good as they are defensively, man, do they struggle at the other end.
They are a bad offensive team.
Yeah, I mean, they turn every game into a street fight, and I mean that in a good way. Like, try to force you down to their level. It'll be interesting. But once you get really get the one, once you get out of the first round, you know, you're basically playing conference games every round. You're playing, you know, quality teams out of, you know, that would be the equivalent of a top level team in your conference. So it comes down to matchups. It comes down to who's healthy, and it comes down to who's playing the best at the right time.
No question. I also think that except for fouls, the issue of depth actually goes by the board in the NCAA tournament because the TV timeouts are longer. There's actually one extra long one in there. It's in the first half. I think that really helps a team like Villanova that doesn't play a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, and it's a good point you bring up with Wisconsin seniors. This group for Villanova has been through this all the way to the end. They know what it takes, and there is that you can't put a price on that, how important that is. When you get into these tight games that are inevitably going to happen, finding a way, it should be really fun. I mean, you know, chasing, and I told this to people, I hope people that enjoy Villanova basketball or fans of Villanova basketball are truly soaking this in and not getting too caught up on matchups and this is a bad matchup, because this doesn't happen often where you have runs like this where you win a national championship, you're immediately right back at the top of the pack and you are in position to repeat. This is incredibly special what we're seeing here, and you just hope people are appreciating it and enjoying every step of the way and not getting lost too much on what could happen down the road.
It's interesting because Mike Bray has talked about this, that one of the important elements in his program at Notre Dame is he likes to, quote, stay old, because, you know, he's not going to do the one-and-done thing. He'll mix in a freshman here or there, but he wants to stay older. Villanova has stayed older. How important has that been for Jay?
Oh, I think that's been critical, because it's kind of what they built their program in, is that they don't maybe get the hot shot, you know, top 10 recruit for the most part, but what they get are very good kids that they know are going to grow into what they do, and they're going to be here for 4 years. And you see that guys like Josh Hart last year with Archie Diacono, Chesu, you know, guys that have played an awful lot of, not just have played an awful lot of basketball, but have played an awful lot of basketball under this coach in this system. I think it's incredibly invaluable. I mean, there's something to be said for the Kentuckys of the world that, you know, get it done with the incredible athletes that are there for one, maybe 2 years. But I also think you're seeing more and more that maybe this is also a way to go. And I think Villanova winning the national championship last year maybe has a lot of people taking a look like, maybe this is how we want to build our program and focus more on kids that can really grow in what we do.
Now, I'll give Calipari credit, though. You do bring in the one-and-dones, which he's obviously done. But, you've got to learn them right away, get a system that fits them right away and so forth. And, I mean, that takes a little bit more coaching, I think, than people realize when your personnel changes like that all the time, too. So, I've some people want to grudgingly give them praise. But you know what? After a while, you've got to realize there's he has to do a lot to make it happen, too. It's more than just, obviously, the talent's impressive, but you got to make it work for you. I have to ask you about Nick Foles. He's back.
Yeah.
How about that?
I didn't see this one coming, to be honest with you. I mean, you kind of heard people talk on Twitter that this would be a possibility, but they kind of went out of their way to bring Chase Daniel in last year. So this kind of surprised me. This obviously, I would assume, means the end of the Chase Daniel era, and we'll never forget that one shovel pass he threw. But
it was fabulous. That was good.
Yeah, it was a special moment. But, I'm sure this makes financial sense. I'm not a big cap guy into how they dig in here and the guaranteed money and the dead money. But slotting in Foles instead of Daniel, I'm sure, is going to create some relief. And, I think Nick Foles, I think people got too excited about Nick Foles when he was 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But then I think, conversely, people got too down on him the next year when he was a little tentative and struggled a little bit. I think Nick Foles is a very solid backup quarterback in the NFL. But I also think he's a guy that probably knows his role at this point, is obviously comfortable having spent time here in Philadelphia, and, will be fine as the backup quarterback. And conversely, I was having this discussion with somebody in the newsroom. Chase Daniel, Nick Foles, chances are if you're leaning too much on either one of those guys, things have gone off the rails anyway.
Right.
So, it's I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but I don't think it has as big of a deal in the big picture.
I think having a quarterback that understands the traffic pattern on the blue route, very important.
There's still a lot of people that have been here for years that don't get that. So.
That's because it was obsolete the day they opened it. Hey, Matt, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, my friend.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia, back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. We're doing the facility master plan release, but I already gave you the basic outline as to what's going on. Sandy Barbara, more detail on the show with us tomorrow. I think that what they're doing in terms of prioritizing what needs to be done first, you can't keep looking at the natatorium and keep putting it to the back of the line. That was built in 1967. It's been 50 years now. They lost the PIAA championships to Bucknell because it just didn't meet standards. So finally, he gets to go to the front of the line, which is a big plus. And the same thing with the tennis center. The indoor tennis facility was right next to Pagula. It's still there. But it really needed to have something done to it. They're going to do a lot of significant things along the line. Significant renovation, of course, Beaver Stadium. This is over 20 years. They have a couple of proposed natatorium locations. The outdoor track, they'll probably reorient that. The indoor facility will be near Holuba. They're going to take down the old East Area locker room. That's where the Center of Excellence will be located. It'll be the hub for Penn State Athletics. They want to renovate the facility. And they also want to put a standalone hoops facility as well as a practice area. And then the Olympic, there'll be an Olympic sports facility as well. The question is what they'll do with Shields Building. The All Sports Museum could possibly go in that area. And they'll do a little bit of work to Haluba Hall as well. And the tennis facility will be go right next to the field hockey area, which is behind Pakula. So that's what they're looking at doing. But this has to be done in an order. And doing it in order is really important. These are the first; these are the projects in the first 5 years. Eventually, with Beaver Stadium, there is a psychology to the 100,000 mark. As I pointed out earlier, you have a 72,000 seat stadium. You're going to renovate it. You end up with 64,000 seats. Everybody goes, "Yeah, okay." But when you're at 100,000, and there's like this exclusive club of 100,000, there is a desire, and the fans have expressed it, they'd like it to stay at least 100,000. Alabama's gone to 100,000. Texas and Texas A&M have both gone to 100,000. Tennessee, Ohio State, Michigan were already there. So it is a psychological barrier. Again, going from 72,000 down to 64, 61, 62, people are like, okay, well, all right, that's fine. But 100,000 is different. Suddenly, if you go just in terms of pure perception, and they seem to understand that. Tomorrow, Nathan Davis on the show. I mean, Blizzard? Oh, please. Blizzard's not going to stop this show. Come on. What do you think? We got Sandy Barber on the show tomorrow, Nathan Davis on the show tomorrow.
I didn't think what we're getting is really qualified as a blizzard. I think you have to have what?
You have to have 35-mile-an-hour wind sustained over a 3-hour period of time.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't matter how much snow you get. You can get 2 inches of snow. But if it's accompanied by, if visibility goes down to a quarter mile at 35 mile per hour sustained winds, that actually qualifies as a blizzard.
All
it's not about
the wind. Yep.
Yeah, it's not about, and also the visibility because of the wind, or the intensity of the snow can cause that too.
You'll be happy to know I'm not going home tonight. We're going to stay close by. Last thing I want to do is deal with all the highway stuff tomorrow morning. So.
Imagine how all the other people now feel knowing that you won't be out on the road.
They should be grateful.
A big day for them.
Yeah.
Hey, this is great. Here, Carrie's not driving. I feel free.
Cats gave me a standing ovation as when I went out the door this morning. I said, see you tomorrow night. And
there you go.
That was it. Yep.
I think I'll just do everything here from the Sunbury Motors studio.
Ding, ding.
And when I'm done, I'll walk upstairs.
That's a commute. That's been on my Christmas list for years, that commute.
Ah, yes. The commute. You know, you've driven down here. You know how easy it is.
Yeah, my place to your place, about, yeah, it's not bad, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
45 minutes, and
sure.
if the suit's driving, 20.
He's nodding his head yes. Told me to tell you hi.
Tell him hello.
He just walked in the studio and just told me he didn't know about Costas leaving the Olympics and Mike Tirico taking over. And said, boy, you turn in your Olympic fan card now, pal.
That was weeks ago.
I said the exact same thing. He said he was dealing with the February frenzy.
Oh, so he sold one.
To the news we go.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.